Thank you, and we're happy, dear friends, to be on the air again with a wonderful gospel of a wonderful grace of God. You know that our motto here is to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. And we're so encouraged as we receive letters from people who show that the preaching of the Word has borne fruit in their lives. We have two little excerpts here, one from Pennsylvania, a couple who writes and says, "We hear your messages and really like the way you present Christ to a lost world. We were both 61 years old when we were born again. We had known about Christ, but never accepted Him as our personal Lord and Savior. Our lives have changed completely now, and we just love to share Christ with everyone we meet. Very few turn us off." That must be a lovely couple to be so well received as they witness for Christ. Then there's one here from somebody that we've known for years, and it's just great to read this. Listen, "At 85 years of age, I enjoy Bible study as much as ever, and I realize how much greater are our blessings when we understand the word rightly divided." Well, that's so true. And we're glad when first people respond and maybe just get the free literature, or perhaps want to buy a book, and then get interested and get more and more until finally we see real fruit in lives, and we're grateful for this. Now then, I want to speak to you a little further in this broadcast on Galatians 1:4, how the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God and our Father. Now we're going to go into this in a moment, but first let's listen to our beloved Don Graves as he sings for us, "I Have Been Born Again." I have been born again. Don Graves.
My heart runneth o'er, a choice of transporting I ne'er knew before. It flows through my soul from God's heavenly store. For I have been born again. I'm singing. And He cleansed me from sin. And now I'm rejoicing and living in Him. Oh, I have been born again. I'm singing and telling wherever I go. That makes the heart glow. Where I have been born again.
When I was at a hospital some time ago, I was especially touched with one poor woman who wouldn't communicate with anyone. The nurses said, "We haven't gotten one word out of her since she came here." So they'd wheel her out into the corridor where she could at least see people passing by. Every day I'd stop and ask her how she was doing, but absolutely no response, just a cold, blank stare. So I'd pat her on the back and tell her I'd pray for her, and leave her some little gospel tract. One day I noticed that she was in her room all alone, so I went in and said hello and sat beside her and asked, "How are you today?" No response. So I said, "Evidently you can't talk to me. But I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say now, for it's important. God says in His Word, this is the gospel by which you are saved." Now, in God's Word, at 1 Corinthians 15:3, we find this verse. Just five words of it are the plan of salvation. Christ died for our sins. "You just believe these words," I said to her, "and you'll be perfectly safe. You trust in Christ who paid for all your sins, and then it won't matter whether it's life or death." And when I uttered that word death, she spoke her first word. She interrupted me to say, "It's going to be just that." Well, the ice was broken. I saw that she was a woman in mortal fear of death. So now I felt that I knew better how to deal with her further. Later, one of the nurses who had seen me talking with her asked, "How in the world did you get her to talk?" And I had a grand opportunity to witness to her, too. But tell me, my dear friend listening into this broadcast, are you afraid of death? Afraid to talk about it or even think about it? Afraid to face up to it? You needn't be. For as Galatians 1:4 says, "Christ gave Himself for our sins. He took all the penalty upon Himself." So if you will receive His payment for your sins and trust in Him as your Savior, what do you have to fear? Hebrews 2:14 and 15 has a wonderful message for those who are bound by the fear of death. Listen, "For as much then as the children," that is the children of Adam, "are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ also Himself likewise took part of the same," that is, He became a man, "that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Isn't it wonderful, beloved, to know that Christ gave himself to die on Calvary's cross in shame and disgrace for sins He never committed, for your sins and mine. But there's more, much more to this verse of Scripture. Galatians 1:4 says that He gave Himself for our sins, and now listen, "that He might deliver us from this present world," really age, "this present age, evil age, according to the will of God and our Father." Now here we must notice exactly what God says and not read other things into it. It does not say that He gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from our sins. This is true, but it doesn't say that here. It does not say that He gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the penalty of our sins. That too is true. But it's not what He's saying here. He gave Himself for our sins. This implies, of course, that this is true. But it doesn't say it here. It does not say that He died for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. It doesn't say, doesn't say that He died to deliver us from the evil of this present age. It doesn't say He died for our sins to deliver us from the judgment to come on this evil age. True, this evil age is doomed to judgment, but that's not what it says here. Now listen carefully to what it does say. Here's what it says. "Who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age." That is, He died to deliver us from it, from this present evil age. Beloved, this is an evil age we're living in. It's the age of the rejection of Christ, and it is doomed to terrible judgment. But God wants to lift you, by faith, above the sin and sorrow and trouble of this age. He wants to lift you above the shallow, frivolous pleasures of this age, too. and wants to bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's exactly what we read in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And so, as in all of Paul's early epistles, we have the great basic truths of that unprophesied mystery of grace developed so beautifully in Ephesians and Colossians. Now get that clearly. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, from it. Now let me read to you, please, Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 7. Here he tells us in verses 2 and 3, we were the children of disobedience, and therefore by nature the children of wrath. Now verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, hath given us life together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if God has given you this position, Christian friend, shouldn't you occupy it by faith? That's why in Colossians 3, the first three verses, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, that is, if you're trusting Christ and you have a position in him, and you're risen with him, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye, that is the old man, are dead, and your life is hid now with Christ in God. Now that's a marvelous passage, beloved, and it shows that once we have trusted Christ as our Savior, he gives us a position above this world. He's delivered us from this present evil age, or take the King James translation, that's all right, this present evil world, he's lifted us above it. By faith, we have now been given a much higher position. How does that song go? I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith hath caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. You see, God wants us to live experientially above this world, above this present evil age, as Paul calls it. And this is why Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world or this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that is, prove for yourself, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How different all this is from the message that the 12 had preached before Paul. This is important to see, so as to rightly divide the word of truth, beloved. At Pentecost, Peter said, if you'll repent, God will send Jesus down here. Read it in Acts 3, 19 and 20. But Paul later was sent to say, you believe, and God will take you up there and give you a place in heaven with the exalted Christ. This present evil age and this world system are doomed to judgment. But Christ gave himself to deliver us from it, beloved. Years ago, when I was in business and declined to enter into a rather shady transaction, someone said to me, Stan, you don't belong down here. You belong in heaven. That's right, I said. We've got a song we sing that says that. I don't belong down here, since my heart to God I've given. And God's word says, our citizenship is in heaven if we're trusting Christ as our Savior. But God has left us here to tell folks about Christ, as that 61-year-old couple that I just read you about. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for God hath made him to be sin for us, him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, my unsaved friend, we come as ambassadors for Christ on enemy territory. We come to you with a message of grace and peace. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to you with the message that the saved have received, and we want you now to receive it. As we've seen from the preceding verses, grace and peace are the exact opposite of judgment and war. In Acts 8:1-3, we have man actually declaring war on God and his Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Thessalonians 2, and Psalm 2, God says he's going to make a counter declaration and judge the world for its rejection of Christ. Now, we are living in the tense moments between man's declaration of war on God and God's counter-declaration of war on man. We're living in a period of grace when God is offering his enemies reconciliation by grace through faith in Christ, his rejected Son. Oh, my dear friend, this is important. Judgment is coming, but God has given us now 1900 years of grace. Have you ever considered the law of Moses held sway for 1500 years? But now God in grace has dispensed mercy and peace to those who will receive it for 1900 and some years. Will you trust Christ as your Savior? Will you accept God's grace and be reconciled to him because Christ was made sin and paid the whole debt of your sins? Will you trust him as your Savior and acknowledge him as your Lord? Do it, and you'll be saved this moment from the penalty of your sins. We read in John 3:35-36 that the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son of God hath, H-A-T-H, that's Old English, and it's the present tense, now has everlasting life. That's how long it lasts. Wouldn't you like to have that life right now? The life that lasts for all eternity? This is life eternal, said our Lord, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Oh, trust Christ as your Savior, and you will now, right now, be delivered from the penalty due you for your sins and from this present evil age. And by his grace, you'll be able to live above this world, above this age, and rejoice in spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Do any of you know, I wonder, I think there must be some of our listeners who have heard that poem by John Newton, so long a wicked profligate, a great man, humanly speaking, but a wicked sinner, until he came to know Christ. Let me quote it to you. In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Oh, never till my latest breath shall I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt. It plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt, and helped to nail him there. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood was for thy ransom paid. I die, that thou mayest live. Thus while his death my sin displays in all its blackest hue, such is the mystery of grace, it seals my pardon too. Isn't that true? Oh, my dear unsaved friend, I pray, I hope, it's my great desire and our great desire here at Berean Bible Society that you will see yourself as we once came to see ourselves, as sinners in the sight of a holy God. Someone said to me some time ago, I've never committed a sin in my whole life. Oh, beloved, don't say that. Your friends and neighbors would have to testify otherwise. You might be very nice outwardly, but you've rejected God's Son. You've committed the greatest sin of all. He says He died for your sins, and you say, I'm not a sinner. Oh, may God help you to see that you are the sinner for whom Christ died. When we're yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly, not some of them, but them, the ungodly. When we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, and thou shalt be saved, and you will have the joy and the peace that has filled my life for all these years by just trusting Him. Now then, ambassadors for Christ, showing our position, the Christian's position on earth today. An ambassador, you know, is an official representative of a ruler or state. And Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, secondly, an ambassador is always sent to another nation, never to his own. Third, an exchange of ambassadors denotes a state of peace. And yet, I just said that man has declared war on God and he shows it every day. But still, God is at peace with us. God has done nothing to make a counter-declaration of war. So, four, ambassadors are withdrawn when war is declared. Now, God is going to declare war, beloved. He will speak unto them in His wrath, He says in Psalm 2. And in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, we have a good deal more about it. Well, here we are, ambassadors on enemy territory, offering grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends of yours, they help to keep these broadcasts on the air, and we need your gifts. We thank you for them. But that's what they're doing, helping to keep the broadcasts on the air. And thanks so much, you helpers. Thanks you all for listening. And may God bless you, each one.